This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. As everyone here knows, clothing is very important. During a North Dakota winter when it's 20 below or colder, you know it's very important to dress warmly. On the other hand, if it's 105 degrees during the summer with 95% humidity, well then it's also very important to dress appropriately. If you're going to spend the day fishing or working in the garden, you will of course wear clothing appropriate to that situation. If you're going to a formal occasion or a fancy restaurant, then you will wear clothing appropriate to that setting. Of course, there are some types of clothing that we Christians should never wear. Scripture's clear that we should be modest and not dress in a way that would tempt another person. In addition, we should also refuse to wear clothing with various pictures or symbols or themes that conflict with Christ and His Word. Yes, there are many types of clothing in this world, and most of us in America have closets and drawers full of various types of clothing for various situations and occasions. At the end of today's reading, Paul says the following: clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what in the world does it mean for us to clothe ourselves with Christ? Simply put, this is a reference to our baptism. For example, listen to what Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 3. He says, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. When you were baptized, you were clothed with Christ. Now, being clothed with Christ is a metaphor for how Christ becomes an intimate part of our lives when we are baptized. Therefore, holy baptism ought to influence how we live our lives every moment of every day. For instance, in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, he writes about the significance of baptism for daily living. In other words, Luther understood that baptism is not merely a one-time act in the past. It has ongoing relevance for our daily lives. So listen to how Luther explains how baptism relates to our daily lives. He says, baptism indicates that the old Adam in us should by daily contrition and repentance be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. So then, clothing yourself with Christ means beginning each day remembering who you are and whose you are. Beginning every day remembering that you are a baptized child of God who has been clothed with Christ. You see, the idea of being clothed with Christ means that He is part of us wherever we go, just as our clothing is part of us wherever we go. In fact, you could say that Christ is like the Christian's uniform. When people look at us, when they see how we live, it should be obvious to them that we represent Christ. The question is, are our lives in harmony with our Christian uniform? Are our lives in harmony with being clothed with Christ? I ask that because the devil is constantly tempting us to take off our Christian uniform and to put on a different kind of clothing. A kind of clothing that identifies us with this evil world. And sadly, we Christians sometimes wear this worldly clothing far too often. There are times when people look at our lives and the last thing they see is Christ. I think you know what I'm talking about. We're all guilty of living in ways that mock God and hurt others. And if we continue to live in this way and refuse to repent, the reality is that our faith in Christ will grow weaker and weaker, and one day, God forbid, we may lose our faith in Christ altogether. And when that happens, we have thereby rejected our baptism identity, and we have declared ourselves to be enemies of God. And the enemies of God will face His wrath on the final day. But my friends, God does not want that to be the fate of any sinner. That's why the Father sent His Son to die on the cross for our many sins, so that we might be forgiven and clothed with Christ's own holy life. In fact, almost 800 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah pointed ahead to the salvation that we have in Jesus. Listen to what Isaiah writes. He says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." Martin Luther said that the meaning of our baptism is that we live in daily repentance and daily remember that we are forgiven and new creations in Christ. You see, we need to remember that in spite of our sincere trust in Jesus, we Christians will continue to struggle with various temptations and sins, and sometimes we'll fall flat on our face. But rather than excusing our sin and wallowing joyfully in it like a pig in the mud, instead, the Holy Spirit convicts us of guilt over our sin, and then moves us to trust in Jesus as our Savior who died for that sin. When the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, He reminds us that in baptism our sins were washed away and we were clothed with the holiness of Jesus. You know what that means? You can come to God every moment of every day with all your sins of thought, word, and deed, and know that you are forgiven and holy in God's sight, and that He will help you to live a new life. That leads to a question. What does this baptism life look like? What kind of life should we live? Well, Paul begins today's reading with these words. He says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another." Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, when Paul says, "Let no debt remain outstanding," he simply means that God wants us Christians to pay our bills. However, most bills, even car payments and home mortgages, most bills are eventually paid off. But this is not the case with love. God says that we owe a debt of love to our neighbor, and that debt of love is never paid off. In other words, just as God never stops loving us, we should never stop loving one another. But again, that leads to a question. How do we love one another? That's an important question, especially in our culture today, because there are many in our culture today who suggest that loving one another means that we simply affirm everything in each other's lives. The idea is that I can live as I please as long as I'm nice to other people and allow them to live as they please. That's how our culture defines love. But my friends, that's not a life of love according to Holy Scripture. According to Scripture, a life of love is a life lived according to God's Ten Commandments. Listen again to what Paul writes. He says, "He who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." Do you hear that? A life of love doesn't mean doing whatever you feel like doing. Instead, a life of love means repenting of the evil condemned by the Ten Commandments and doing the good that the Ten Commandments want you to do. In fact, listen to how Luther explains the meaning of the fifth commandment for our lives. Listen to what he says. He says, "We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need." Here we see that love not only means avoiding doing harm to your neighbor, it also includes doing good for your neighbor. And the reason we strive to live in this way is that we have been clothed with Christ in holy baptism. Our lives are an extension of Christ to our neighbor. We have a new identity. We are God's dearly loved and forgiven children, washed from sin in holy baptism, and clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness. So, what should we do then when people notice that we are living the Christian life? What should we do when people notice that we repent of our sin and strive to turn from it? When they notice that we do our best to help others and serve others? What should we do when they notice this about us? Well, obviously, we don't boast in ourselves. We don't take the credit and pat ourselves on the back. Instead, we point people to Jesus. To Jesus, who washed us from our guilt in the waters of holy baptism and gave us a new life, his own holy life. And so when people notice the way we live, we simply point them to Jesus and we let them know that he's the reason we live the way we live. In today's reading, Paul goes on to say the following about our baptized life. He says, "And do this, understanding the present time. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Why does Paul say that? Well, Paul understands that even though we trust in Jesus and want to live for him, we Christians still have a sinful nature. Every day we struggle with evil desires that are opposed to God's will for our lives. And the devil, well, the devil dangles dozens of despicable delicacies from this demented world to deceive us and distract us from the lives that God would have us live. You know what I mean? From the moment we get up in the morning, we have to deal with sinful thoughts, sinful desires. Sometimes we have to struggle with those evil desires all day long. And sadly, there are times and moments of weakness when we give in. But God says to you, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. The question is, how do we do that? When we have all these sinful desires churning within us, and when we have all these temptations in the world luring us to act out our sinful desires, how do we deal with that? Paul simply says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or to put it another way, when you're feeling burdened and overwhelmed by sinful desires, remember your baptism. Remember who you are and whose you are. Remember that Jesus died for your sins and clothed you with his own holiness. In fact, Luther once said that every Christian should begin the day as follows. Luther said that the moment you wake up, before you think about anything else, you should make the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart, like I do with people when they're baptized. He says, do that to remind yourself of your baptism, to remind yourself who you are and whose you are. And then begin the day knowing that you have been clothed with Christ. When we begin the day focusing on Jesus and all that he's done for us, he will give us the desire and the determination to live our lives accordingly. That doesn't mean we'll live without sin, but it does mean that if we begin the day with Jesus, we'll have a whole lot better chance at dealing with our temptations and sinful desires than we would if we begin the day focusing on our sinful desires instead of Jesus. In fact, Paul says that we should live every day with the understanding that the day is almost here. You know, at the beginning of the service, I joked about the fact that the world didn't end yesterday. Sadly, throughout history, in direct conflict with Holy Scripture, many people have tried to pick the day and the hour of Christ's return. I think the reason some people do that is they think, well, if I know the day, then at least I can get prepared. The only problem with that is that according to Scripture, we should be prepared every day. In fact, the Bible clearly says, you do not know the day or the hour. Christ will come like a thief. The reality is, not only do we not know the day of Christ's return, but not any one of us here knows the day of his or her own death. And at the moment of our death, we have to stand before the Lord. Now, if you don't have Jesus, that's a very scary thought. But you don't have to be scared. You don't have to live in fear of death. You don't have to live in fear of the day of judgment because you have been clothed with Christ in holy baptism. So when Paul says the day is almost here, he's reminding us that one day we will be with the Lord and we will live with him forever in his kingdom. And so Paul's thinking is this. If you're going to live forever with God, worshiping him and adoring him and living to his glory, then you may as well start right now. Because you're already God's dearly loved child. And that means your life is to be lived to his glory and in loving service to your neighbor. My friends, we Christians have been saved so that we can live in God's love for all eternity. And since we will be living to God's glory for all eternity, we strive to do that very thing also in this life. And we do that by remembering that we have been clothed with Christ in holy baptism. I'd like to say one more thing. I know that living the Christian life can be very hard. As I said already, we constantly battle with the desires of our sinful nature. And sometimes, in moments of weakness, we foolishly put those sinful desires into action. I know I'm guilty of doing this. But here's the good news. You have been clothed with Christ. You can come to God every day in repentance and faith and know that He doesn't see your many sins. Instead, when God looks at you, He sees your clothing. He sees Jesus. And this good news of forgiveness and love not only gives us great comfort when we are burdened with guilt over our many sins, but even more, the good news of God's forgiveness and love in Christ also gives us the desire and the strength to say no to the sin that offends God and harms others, and yes to all the good things that please God and bless others. And so Paul tells you today, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Instead, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or in other words, remember that you were clothed with Christ in holy baptism. He defines your identity. He defines your life. And He will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.